Thursday, everybody, and welcome to another handsome episode of Mikey's Watching, where today I just finished watching Season 1, Episode 9 of Deadwood, No Other Sons or Daughters, which I'm not even sure if that made sense until the final scene of this episode. But before we talk about this episode, let's take a moment to hear from today's sponsor. Whoa, what wonderful sponsors they are. Now, let's get down to talking about this episode. I literally just finished watching and I'm like, wait, what happened? Welcome to every time I watch an episode. I always forget. But I think, oh yes, it opened up with Al holding that gold piece again. And he wakes up and Trixie's there and he's like, can I expect you to bring me one of these every single day? She's like, nope. But he is more focused on this big annexation that might be happening at Deadwood. The thing is that I guess there's treaties with the Sioux people and the, I don't know, other Native American people. And, or as he likes to call them, the heathens. And when he hears people, he doesn't even like hearing that. It seems like the area is getting more settled and more, the government is kind of moving in. This is what I understand it as. I'm a very simple man, so I'm not sure I'm getting this all right. But the big gist of this episode is that they need to put together some sort of government, not a government per se, but an informal government with some sort of organization that shows the powers that be when they come in, look, we can handle this. We have we are under control. We are not just a bunch of crazy people. We have a well-run place. Really, what there were in the power of these positions means nothing to Swearengen. He doesn't care who gets what. It's just that he doesn't want to lose his property. He doesn't want to lose what he's getting from people, for rent. And really, he just wants them to recognize what they own. So that's what it is, because they don't want it to be like, you know, this land wasn't unclaimed. You took it, and then you'd lose it. There's like a law that says if land is unclaimed and uncharted and unused and you settle it and better it, then it's like almost like finders keepers. So what they're trying to say is you need to settle it and better it. I'm simplifying this, but that's what the whole point of this, the main thing of this episode is, the settle and better of Deadwood. So to do that, they need to have a meeting and kind of give people positions. So Swearengen, first of all, he is so good in this. Friggin' Ian McShane is like an unstoppable force in this show. He's just the nonchalant attitude he has, but yet it's so, like, with a stare, he can, like, intimidate you, and you don't know if he's going to be nice or if he's going to slap you or if he's just going to insult you. But like when he was with Trixie, he looked at her arm and he's like, don't try offing yourself off like that again. And it felt sincere. Now, I don't know if Trixie is being defiant to him on purpose or testing him. I don't know, but you know, she says she's not going to be bringing more gold to him. But anyway, Ian McShane, and there's another guy there. He's kind of the dopey guy. I don't remember his name. Is it Will, maybe? And he's going to be taking over. He wants him to take over the job that Persimmon Phil did. And I have to tell you, I have no idea. That's the guy who left town, isn't it? And I thought wait a minute. Isn't that who Persimmon Phil is? He's the guy who left town. He says, don't even bother following me. But then they said he's dead, so they must have followed him and killed him. I don't know. But this guy, the way that Al talked to him was very funny. The way he's like talking to Danny's like, this guy is such an idiot. And then he goes, can I tell Dan that I'm taking over for Simon Phil right in front of Dan? He goes, no, keep him in the dark. And he just walked away. He made me laugh out loud multiple times in this episode. So I keep talking about this meeting. So they go all over town to tell people we're having this meeting. He finally gets to the newsman, tells him we're having this meeting. Goes to Farnham, we're having the meeting. Goes to Seth Bullock and Starr. Goes to Cy, goes into Cy's place, and he goes like, you need to tell Cy we're having this meeting and you guys are welcome. And there's a thing going on at Cy's place. Eddie, Ricky J, I think Cy feels like he's losing his people. Eddie is completely freaked out by what he saw, by what happened in Joni's room. Those two young kids, the grifters, were beaten up and then killed right there, and it's had an effect on him. Like, it's really bothering him. Joni seems to be taking it better, but she wants to, she's taking Cy up on that offer he gave, which I don't even know how real it is, but that she's going to venture out and open up her own business. So, actually, Eddie was like, I'd like to come to that meeting. And he's like, what if you want, Eddie, just to cheer you up, just to get you back and freaking doing the work. Cy has been like really, seems like he's been drinking and he's upset. But it, again, Powers Booth, awesome on this show. I've known him just from being in multiple things over the years, but like, he just nails it and he scares me. Every time I see him, he seems like a crazier Al Swearengen. And it's like, you know, Al's not a good person, but I'm rooting for him over Cy Toller all day, every day. And I don't know why. It's like Cy's crazier. Maybe because Al was there first. I don't know. But they do have this meeting and everyone's there. Even Charlie Utter's there. He's like, should I belong here? I am a new business owner. Charlie's opened a freight and mail service. And I guess it's covering Al's view. He's like, oh, yeah, you're the guy blocking my view. Come on in. So he's there. The guy who owns the little bar that Wild Bill was killed in, he's there. It's very late. And Al goes into the whole thing about how we need to form an informal government. And E.B. Farnham, that's his name, right? E.B. Farnham, yeah. He's very much like, I think he likes the idea of trying to be impressive, and he likes the idea of being someone who is respected. So he's like, can we just apply for things? And I was like, I don't care. Just do whatever you want. He's like, I want to be mayor. Any objections? Okay, great. You're mayor. All of a sudden, E.B. Farnham is the mayor of Deadwood. Now, I feel like it's title alone, because they all kind of talk about different things. And I guess the doc, we don't see it, but the doc talks about all the stuff and why he can't be the head of the health commission, because he was found guilty of stealing bodies for testing. But like, they talked about it afterwards that he's a grave robber, Brad Dourif, Doc Cochran, which again, another great character. Like, the actors and working in this that I've seen and other things are just blowing me away on this show. I don't know what Saul got. Did he get something? I feel like he did. Oh, he is... No, wait a minute. I forget. Seth Bullock got the health commission. He's the head of the health commission because Doc didn't want it. And I forget if Saul took something. I'm sure he did. But Seth said, I only volunteered for that because I didn't want to be sheriff. I thought they were going to make someone sheriff. And I've said from the beginning, I think Seth Bullock will eventually be the sheriff of Deadwood. I'm not looking up the history books. I don't want to know what happens. It's just that's what I think might possibly happen. Really, nothing much comes of these positions, except it seems like Mr. Mayor now is trying to flaunt his power just a bit. Like, even in the meeting, he's like, well, we should start... The first thing he says is we should start taxing people to pay for these bribes. Because really, Al's like, we just need to get together enough money and figure out who to bribe so that we can keep Deadwood. Because he met with the the judge. Well, I guess the lawyer, but he was the judge in the murder of Wild Bill. And now he's there to kind of, he was there telling Al earlier in the day of what he needs to do about, you know, putting together some sort of informal government. And he also wrote out what he thinks it would take to bribe the correct people. So Mr. Mayor thinks that if we just tax the people to pay for these bribes, that'll be great. And Seth's like, well, shouldn't we also actually provide service? He's like, yeah, we'll do that a little bit too. But that's really it. Now, and then later at the bar, the mayor got really drunk and was, you know, messing around with the working girls. I'll just say that without being very, I don't want to be too graphic. But yeah, that's really it, I feel like, with the laws. But the fact that it is going to be annexing and going to be more civilized, Seth wants to send for his wife and his child. Now, he only has one child. He has no other sons or daughters. See what I did there? Let's go back a little bit. Seth has, you know, he's with Ellsworth, and they're going over to see Mrs. Garrett so that Seth can introduce Ellsworth to Garrett as he will be working her claim. And he let them meet for a little bit and kind of said, you know, they just have this flirty little thing between them that I see, that I think everybody sees. I just don't know if Seth sees it. But it seems like Mrs. Garrett, you know, she loved Mr. Drummond, and she loved Tootie and Joe. Oh, wait, wrong Mrs. Garrett. So it seems like Mrs. Garrett, she's taking care of little Sophia, and she is, which is, you know, when I think about it now, this is like 16 years ago. This Sophia is like in her 20s now. That's, if not older. She could be 12 there. She could be 30. That's, no, wait a minute. She can't be 30. No, but math, me, good. Yeah. So what happened? So she introduced the two of them, and Ellsworth seems like, I thought, you know, we're seeing, is he working something? But I think he is genuine. I think. Now you have to remember, he saw her husband fall, and he saw Dan bash his head in. And remember, he went to Dan, and kind of, I think Dan might have known that he saw him. I don't know. But it's like, there's still something I don't trust about Ellsworth's full work with this. I still feel like there's something going on with him and Al. I don't know. I could be wrong. Did they really just give up on the claim that easy? I do not know. I can't stop yawning. Anyway, later on, Seth meets with the widow Garrett, and he's like, you know, I just wanted to check with you to see how it went with Mrs. Ellsworth. But he went there pretty late, like a little too late, if I may say so. To be in a single woman's home in that time in America, my goodness, a gentleman caller at this time. She says, you know, I think he seems genuine, and he agreed, and everyone seems good. And then she's like, please come and sit. And he's like, he did, you know, he seemed like he had my best interest in mind, and that I should get my family involved. He's like, oh, that's good, that's good. And then he's sitting there, he goes, I'm having my wife and my son come out. She goes, oh, you have a child? Yes. I see. Oh. Any other? And then she says, no other sons or daughters? The title of the episode. He goes, no. My brother was in the cavalry. He died. He was killed 2 years ago. Oh, then she leaves. He goes to leave. And she's like, why did you tell me? Why did you? In regular, you know, like normal speaking English, she'd be like, why did you tell me about your brother? But I think in this, she's like, why did you speak of your brother? Because every word is meticulous. And he's like, because my wife is his widow. And my son is his child. And she's like, oh. And then he leaves. Good night. And I thought he was gonna turn right back around and be like, but he wasn't, and she was just like, oh, like maybe she felt like maybe there's something, maybe she's not, he's not so beholden. Maybe he just feels a sense of duty to these, to this woman and her son. They're in Michigan with her people. I just, the way he says with her people, I'm like, what people? You mean her family? I think Mrs. Garrett and Mr. Bullock might be heading somewhere. I couldn't think of anything clever to say. Might be heading down Lover's Lane. Is that something? I don't know what the hell I'm talking about. But that's actually how the episode ended. She goes, she seemed a little like, ooh, to catch her breath. Then she blew out her lamp and the screen went dark and the credits rolled. Cause I'm all over the place here. That really seemed like most of what Seth did in this episode. When Elsewhere Engine came in to the hardware shop, and he told them we're having a meeting, and then he leaves. Before he leaves, he looks around. He's like, "You did a effing good job with this place." Like you see him actually complimenting them. Now, I don't know if he's just buttering them up, but it seems sincere. Like, wow, you guys actually did a good job with this place. Funny how hardware store people can actually build stuff with the stuff they sell. At the meeting, Saul Star caught Trixie's eye, and they smiled at each other. They've kind of had a little bit of they've had conversations. They have a friendship, and later on after the meeting, when Saul and Seth were just sitting outside having a drink and watching people go by, I actually thought that was like, I was like, wow, that is nice. I wish I could just kind of sit out there with them. That at least seems like a nice place to sit and just watch the people go by. I would like that. I was jealous. He's like, what do you think of Trixie? Does she seem nice? I don't know. Do you think she's pretty? Very pretty. I'm going to go for a walk. And he's like, okay, we'll talk to you later. He didn't say talk to you later. So Saul goes and checks on Trixie, goes to the gym and sees Trixie. And you could see Al looking at him, probably because Trixie should be working. And she basically says, I don't want you coming in here to see me. He goes, can I buy you a drink? She's like, I wish you wouldn't. I don't want you coming in here. This isn't a place for you like this. She thinks he's too nice and too good to be in the place. He goes, well, come to my place. She goes, well, Al's not just going to let me walk out like that. Because you can come buy something. She's like, well, I can't. But if I did, I'd come buy an axe and a saw and something else. He goes, well, we have all of those in stock. And we would never even ask what you're buying them for. They have a little chuckle. There's definitely some flirtation going on there. But later on, when Trixie goes back into Al's bedroom, he goes, I hope you make me wait so long because you earned me $5. She goes, nope, and closes the door. She's being a little more like forceful with Mr. Al Swearingen. I don't know. Maybe she's just brave, or maybe she just doesn't care anymore. I do not know. I think that's it with Saul and Trixie. I think. Another thing going on is Jane. Jane's been working a lot with the doc in the sick tent. And she's been keeping sober, but it seems like she's drinking so much afterwards. And in the sick tent, she's getting pissed at the Reverend because he is trying to cover up these seizures, and he's trying to say like he something's different. He keeps smelling his body, his flesh rotting, and he can't hear God, and he can't speak, and he doesn't hear the word of God coming through. It's almost like he doesn't want to get better because he's afraid he might lose the word when he was hearing God. So he definitely has, besides his faith, definitely has some mental issues as well. It's funny. I just saw that actor in Ford versus Ferrari the other day, and you know, very, just remarkably different. He didn't even do that talking that he does, like that I've seen him do on Sons of Anarchy and in this, very much pronouncing things. He didn't really do that at all in Ford versus Ferrari, or at least not to that level. Great actor. And he actually gets, the doc actually comes to him later and just confronts him. And he's like, we need to take care of you. You have something that's making you think these things that aren't true. So the doc is trying to get through to him. But he, and later when he's, before he's going to the meeting, he goes and sees Jane. She's leaning up against this building, just drunk as a skunk. And he's kind of trying to yell at her. You wanted me to say something to you about your drinking. Well, I'm officially saying something. You need to effing stop drinking. She yells at him to piss off. She can't deal with it. She just can't deal with it. Now, Charlie shows up. He's like, you're doing a pretty good job holding up that building. And she's like, F you, Charlie. Utter with your mail freight service. Utter freight Charlie service. He's like, oh, bro, what do you think of this coat? You look stupid in that jacket. Now, the reason Charlie Utter to open a new business, he thinks he needs to be businesslike, so he got a coat made. He seems self-conscious about the coat, but he's trying to offer Jane jobs. How would you like to, head up this, the mail service? Nope. How would you like to, be the supervisor of this? Nope. And he's like, well, the position still stands. So he's offering her jobs. He wants her to work with him, but she's like, I can't stay in this place sober with Bill here. I'm not going to drink myself. I can't stay here with his grave here. Basically, she can't stay. She can't stay sober. She's got to leave. So that's what it seems like she's doing. I don't think she's leaving, but she's going to try to leave. Cause she just can't, but she's like, say, just mention it to Bill if you speak to him. So I guess they go to the grave a lot to talk. Charlie with the jacket, he was brought up a couple times cause he opened his new business. Now, remember we talked about Joni venturing out to do her own place. So she starts just walking around town looking for, someplace to open her new brothel. Oh, that to open her new business. And she wanders around town and she wanders by, Wu, is that his name? The Asian fella who has the pigs. And she sees in the pigsty that like the clothes of the kids. And it's like, ew, yuck. Now, they're not going to eat that ham, are they? Cause that is a yuck or yucker. But she wanders around town and then she has a nice little conversation with Charlie Utter. And it was kind of like friendly, but he was like, I don't know what I'm doing open this business. She goes, I don't even know why I'm thinking about this. He's like, well, you need to just kind of, he was like, you got to just go for it. He goes, maybe the time is right, even if you're not. I thought that was a cool thing. He's like, what kind of business are you going to open? And I thought he was going to offer her a job. She's like a brothel. So she's going to open another brothel. So it's going to be the Gem. There's going to be Bella Union and then Joni's place. I almost said Joni loves Chachi, which some of you might get. I guess I did say it. She comes back later and says, I got a room. She got a room and she was telling Eddie about this. Eddie does not seem like himself. He just seems sick. She goes in to tell she goes in to tell Cy about the room and he just starts rambling. He's like, good for you there, dear. But it doesn't seem like he wants to let her go or he's going to let her go. I'm not sure. But he goes and then he kind of yells at her. Rambles. Then he goes out and I think he's drunk. He's a real jerk to Eddie. He needs him to kind of stop, buck it up and get back to work. And do what they do, which is make people feel like they have a chance to win money and have a fresh start. But Eddie can't get over what he did to those kids in Joni's room. And he starts like really insulting him and saying, why don't you go? What do you just want to be with that kid? You want to be, I want to get you a young 12-year-old boy or something like that. That he's like, you can have, do God knows what with. And he's like, I never did that. And you know that I've never done that. Now, I don't think Eddie had done it. I think maybe maybe Eddie's gay and Cy knows it, but he thinks like the way to insult him is to be say that you're into boys. I don't know. It just seemed really, or he was just being like really insulting to him, saying the only reason you be acting this way because you didn't even freak out when I killed the girl. It's just the boy. What did you want to, you know, do this and do that to him and all these things? And it was a weird conversation, but it's almost like maybe I just couldn't tell. It seems like this isn't the first time that Cy has insulted him this way. I'll put it that way. And this didn't come out of the blue. I don't know. Very weird. But he's like, Eddie says, why don't you raise your hand? Why don't you volunteer for one of those positions? Maybe then you wouldn't be such a miserable sea sucker. I'm not going to say it. You know what it was, though. Yeah, that really is kind of how it ended there. Just Tolliver walked off all pissy. I feel like I covered most of everything. Now, there's a new character that in this episode that I had never... definitely the first episode, but it threw me off. Because I don't know if you're familiar with the actor Zach Ward. He is a Canadian actor. But he doesn't have an Irish accent. That really was not an Irish... I went from Irish to Middle Eastern or something. What was that? I'm going to try to do an Irish. I'm going to do an Irish accent. Irish. Oh, I'm doing an Irish accent. I don't think I'm doing a... Maybe if I do one like this, and I'm talking like this, and I'm Irish. Am I Irish? I'm Irish. Look, I'm just stop doing this now. This guy is... We want to know what he's known for. You know what he's known for. He's the bully in Christmas Story. He's Scott Farkas. For my life of me, I thought it was Scott. It's Scott Farkas. He's got yellow eyes in A Christmas Story. He was in like TV shows like, what was that show with the comedian? The guy, he was his brother. I can't even think of it. Like I'm looking on IMDb, but I know what it was. It was called the show. What does it matter? He is not an Irish fella. Okay. He's a redhead guy. He is a Titus. That's the show. He is like kind of a, he's been in like funny things. Like I think he plays like the jock sometimes and things, but anyway, I had no idea he was in this and he plays the Irish fella who helps at the hotel. And he talks about, I'm trying to do the Irish accent again, but I'm also trying to remember what he said. It was really weird. Apparently he drunk himself to the point where he lost his pants, and then he made a mess of himself. I'll just say that. Then he found his pants, and after he found his pants, he realized that he had a letter that Wild Bill gave him that he never mailed, and it seemed like E.B. Farnham's eyes lit up. He's like, I'll take the letter, you idiot. I'll make sure he gets it. You don't want to be breaking all these laws with the mail. And, you know, the Irish guy seems kind of like an idiot. So he's like, okay. I don't know exactly why Farnham wants the letter. I think my gut is that he thinks... The last thing that Wild Bill wrote will be worth something. I think he thinks he can sell this to someone. That's what I think. Because nobody else knows this letter exists. Well, wait a minute. That's not true. Someone came in the room and saw him writing the letter. And I think it was the Widow Garrett. Was it Mrs. Garrett? Did she interrupt him? I think it was. I bet this is going to come up again. Mrs. Garrett in the letter. Because E.B. looks like he was about to open it. He didn't even want Al Swearengen to see it. So something about this letter. Again, maybe he's worried what it says. But if it's just a letter to his wife, I think he thinks that it's something he could get money from. I don't know. My friends, I think that's it. I think we covered it. It's about a half hour, you know, definitely not my shortest ever episode, but not my longest, but I was walking, you know, when I watch these episodes, I think I could talk about 10 minutes, maybe. And what am I going to talk about? But then I just kind of go on and on and on. And I'm sure I missed something. Maybe I did. I don't know. But I want to tell you something. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Geek Mentality, and the show on Twitter at Mikey's Watching. The website is fans.experts.com, and the Facebook page is fans.experts. And I think that's it. Now, I feel like I did two last week because I missed a week. Then should I do two again? I don't know. It's kind of weird because I'm in and out of vacation days. So I was on vacation. Then I came back to work for a couple of days. Now I'm on a long weekend, and for the first time, I'm leaving the house and going to visit my in-laws. Not feeling great about this. I'm bringing a mask. They've been safe. We've been safe. If I leave the house, I'm going to wear a mask. My wife, the same thing. I'm bringing my recorder with me. We might be there for the whole week. I don't know, but I'm working too. So it's so very difficult, but I need to get away and talk. So maybe I'll get away and talk with you guys, right? Wouldn't that be nice? Anyway, friends, I've rambled on long enough. Thank you guys so much for listening. Thank you so much for subscribing. And I want to tell you that every June I do a movie month. I've talked about this many times, and it just ended. I watched 30 movies in 30 days and did 30 podcasts. Yesterday, July 1st, was the first day that I hadn't done a podcast in a month. Some days I did three, and it was like, it felt weird. So here I am doing another one today. This feels more normal. But that podcast is called Geek Mentality, and it kind of lays dormant most of the year. But this year, I want to tell you that I've always done 30 movies, 30 podcasts, 30 days. This August, I'm doing something, a little project. I just want to tell you guys about it. It's 31 days, 31 podcasts, one movie. And I'm calling this project Jawgist, because I'm going to watch Jaws. Not Jaws 2, not Jaws 3, not Jaws the Revenge. Jaws, the original, the only one that counts, the classic Jaws movie, every single day in August, and podcast about it. What am I going to do with this? What is this podcast about? I have no idea. The term Jawgist popped into my head, and I said, I want to do it. And we had, originally in August, I have my birthday, my dad's birthday, my parents' anniversary, and we were all going away on a cruise. Well, none of that shit's happening now. So guess what is happening? Jawgist. So my friends, that's it. I'm going to tell you, I will mention Jawgist every week until we get there to see if any of you, maybe two of you, come over and check it out. It's over at geekmentality.com. Everything, I mean, it's over at fans.experts.com. Everything is there. But that's it. I'm done. Oh, look, the voice is changing. That means we're pretty much finished up here. So I want to thank you. I want to thank you for listening. Thank you for subscribing. And thank you for coming along with me as I watch Deadwood, because that's what Mikey's watching.
Mikey's watching every episode of a certain show I will talk about. Mikey's watching every episode of a certain show I will talk about. Mikey's watching.
Fans Not Experts.